Our mission here on the Sports Free Agent Podcast is to connect people with their first or next opportunity within the sports industry. We challenge the normal. Think of this as the new resume, a podcast episode which provides insight into individuals on their values, their experiences, and insight into who they really are. We challenge the normal way of doing a job search and hiring process. We're building a database to showcase your next future star employee on our website at www.sportsasajob.com. We flip the roles, so no longer do people get lost in the search, but they get found. Welcome to the Sports Free Agent Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Sports Free Agent Podcast. I have another guest for all of you listeners here today. So if you could please introduce yourself to everybody listening right now.
Good morning, guys. My name is Federico Mor. I am 22 years old, recent graduate from Colombia, currently stationed in Miami. How you doing today, Kobe?
I'm doing well. I mean, like before we were talking, before we got on, I mean, things are, it is what it is, you know. It's one of those things, it's about what you're doing right now. Are you staying proactive with reaching out to people and different things like that? So, you know, you mentioned you graduated last year, 2019. If you could tell me, you know, what is it that you graduated with? What was your degree and how was that? How did your education play into your development?
Right. Well, first off, thanks for having me. And I graduated with this, the original title is Health and Human Performance, but the subcategory is Sport Management Major and the Sport Marketing Minor. I picked up the Sport Marketing Minor at the beginning of my junior year, so the second half of my college career. And that's where I was really able to kind of knock down and say, hey, wow, okay, this is what I want to do for sure. Because I absolutely love doing it. And the school, Rhode College, gave me an opportunity. Well, not, it was, you're required to do an internship, you know, and I started knocking on some doors and I was able to work with the University of Miami as an intern for their sport marketing department in the summer. And that was the nail in the coffin. Like, okay, yeah, this is where I want to do. This is the people that I want to work with, the industry that I want to work with, operations, whatever the case may be. It was summer, you know, so there was no sports, no students around. And I still had a great time. And I could only imagine what it would be like to work with the monster that is football at UM. I'm a soccer. I love soccer. I grew up playing soccer. I played soccer in college. So I was able to help the women's soccer team with the behind the scenes kind of thing. So that was my my awakening, if you will. Like, okay, this is going to get me going for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I did internships. I've done internships during the summer as well with athletic departments. So I definitely understand when you're talking about, I mean, it's the summer. There's no sports going on. So it's like a different feel. Now, you said, you know, this was the nail in the coffin and you knew from that point this is what you wanted to do. I mean, what exactly was it? I mean, I guess we can all say that it's sports that we want to be a part of. But what exactly, I guess, you know, what were the certain things you were doing in this internship that made you say, hey, this is what I want to do?
So I was never familiar with what exactly what went on behind the scenes, because I played for 4 years and I had nothing to do with whatever. We had on game day, we would see on a post like, okay, the men's soccer team is trapped. So I'm like, okay, it's kind of cool that we kind of get to pick up on these kind of things. I was hired because of my soccer experiences for coaching, recruiting since I was 13 years old. And so I was directly put on to work with the operations of the women's soccer team over at the University of Miami. And basically kind of put their whole marketing plan together for all of their home games. So we were talking, we're allowed a couple shirts. Okay, let's get shirts for, okay, beat Duke shirts. When do we want the pink day? We want pink day on this day because this is the game where we don't have football. We're going to have fans there. This is when we can do senior day for the seniors, the item of the game, what we can do, et cetera, et cetera. So it took a while, but I was like, man, this is so cool that we get to put this stuff together. And then when I went back to school, I was actually keeping up with their season because I was like, you know, I'm interested in to see what it was like. I was able to give the veterans who've been working there for years now a new ideas that they're now implementing for their home games, that they're now doing for their away games as well. So I was able to just kind of being in a group of people who work with, I mean, Coach Rick at the University of Miami and major superstars, you know, and being in those offices alone was like, wow, it's pretty overwhelming. It's pretty sweet. So, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it's that behind the scenes, because I was a former student athlete as well, you know, that behind the scenes, we truly don't know what actually goes into all of this sometimes. I mean, we really don't. And then we're able to get behind the scenes to this whole beast, this whole machine, right? And we're able to see how it works. And we get this personal investment. We get to work on these projects. And then, like you were saying, you get to actually see it happen. And then you're like, oh, wow, like this is something I really want to be a part of. Now, a big part of your story is that since 2011, you helped build the soccer academy, and you're associate head coach. You help, you know, you're talking about you love soccer. That's your passion. So tell me a little bit about that. I mean, you know, what has it been like? And I guess explain, you know, what exactly it is.
So my dad founded the soccer academy Lions FC back in 2004. And I was way too young to be one of his first students, if I could remember. And come the beginning of high school, I was always around it because that's where I would go after school. And at the beginning of high school, he said, hey, why don't you, I've got a group of like 10 little kids, I'm talking 3 or 4 years old, just give them what you know, about an hour, you know, hour and 10 minutes, twice a week. I'll give you some cash for it. You know, it'd be something that could kind of keep you busy. And that is exactly how it started. I became the youth soccer coach protege, and I was coaching Monday through Friday with different groups of kids between the ages of like 3 and 6 years old. And it kind of became my high school job. It was like after school right away. The academy hours were from, you know, 4 to 7 p.m. by the time we put everything together. And I grew into a position where I started coaching the older kids. I started at 13 years old, so I was starting to grow with the U9s, the U10s, the U11s, and then I'm going to clinics. I'm going to coaches' reunions. I'm going to the FYSA conventions at like 14, 15, 16 years old, you know, and then she started showing me the ropes of everything that goes behind the scenes for him, the administrative process, you know, the paperwork, the sponsors. And to this day, every time I would go home for Thanksgiving break, spring break, summer, whatever it was, he's like, hey, go ahead, take the U9s for this week that you're here. You know, you never left, basically. This is what you've grown into. And he slowly but surely, he's like, okay, you deal with this sponsorship so we can get new gear, new goals. Let's see if we can land them for next year. Talk to the city of Miami so we make sure our grass is cut, the lights are on, etc. So it kind of became a more operational kind of thing, and I was still I'm to this day one of the head faces of the coaches for the academy, and we run it together, and I help him with new ideas because, you know, he's an all-timer. And my brother and I, we help with everything that's social media, our website, you know, posting about everything, doing our online Zoom classes now. And so he gave me a very awesome opportunity to be like, hey, you can now become an associate of mine. We can work this thing together. We have our business plan in case something goes crazy. We've been working with other clubs to see if we can partner with teams in Europe, you know, other clubs here in the U.S. Because, I mean, we're a small academy, but we really have that family feel. Mm-hmm. And it's a very wholesome experience. And it's kind of great to see. We've seen kids who come in with us since, you know, they were 3, 3.5, 4 years old, and now they take off and they're playing U14 in one of the best clubs in Miami. Mm-hmm. So it's very awesome. It's a great experience, and it's still ongoing. And it's safe to say that we're both, you know, the two stinks of the academy up top running it all. So it's
That's cool. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, not many people can say they had that experience from such a young age, and you're able to get that behind the scenes and do all these different things, like you were saying, calling the city. And soccer is definitely a growing sport here in the U.S. I mean, it's a major sport, but it's still growing, I think, here. So that doing this different things, I think it's helping. I think one of the things that I had somebody on that works in the soccer industry, and we always talked about, like, how can we grow the game of soccer in the U.S.? And he said it begins with the youth. I mean, you have to to work with the youth. These are the future. And eventually, you know, once you work with the youth, they pass it on to their kids. They pass it on to the other youth. So that's definitely, you know, that's super cool that you did that. Now, another part of your story, you mentioned it. You're a former student athlete. You played soccer. So what did that mean to you to be a student athlete? And I guess, what did you take away from doing that?
That is a connection with a group of guys that I have never experienced before. Mm-hmm. You know, I was never really aware of college sports up until I started getting these recruiting emails, because we were going to these tournaments. And come my freshman year, you know, group of guys that I met in the middle of August, and in less than 2 or 3 weeks, they became your lifelong friends that will take you on for the next 4 years. And it was not only for the classes that above me when I was a freshman, it slowly and surely became, as you were going up in the scale, the new guys coming in. So I've graduated with connections of about 60 plus dudes, basically brothers, that I never knew I had that, the ability to have. And so I am super grateful for that opportunity. And there's nothing more, is what I miss the most is being able to play for something such as like a school, where the only thing you're playing for is the pride of your own program, you know, and the playing for your own band. There's no money involved. There's no contract that you sign. It's just being able to play for your own team, for your own pride. And I could safely say that the only two teams in this planet that I will get up and scream and rage for if we score a goal is probably the Colombian national team and my school team, you know. And it's an experience that I miss every single day, and I'm still in touch with most of all the guys. And like I said, it's not only one of the greatest playing moments that you'll have in your life, but you get to develop so many friendships, so many connections that the college career offers for you to have for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great. I played at Roanoke College, a small D3 school in Virginia. And it's a very, very great, beautiful athletics program with top of the line facilities that we were blessed to have. And lots of international students. So there was a huge connection from all over the world with these guys. So unbelievable, unforgettable experience for anybody who's listening who's younger and they want to, they're like, you know, not so sure about college sports. I can get that doubt off your head right now. Yeah, it's great. That's great. Love it.
I mean, it's more than just sports. I mean, it's the pride in your the schools that you're representing, but also saying you develop these relationships with 60 other people. I mean, and then after you graduate, I mean, you have this network of people, you have these brothers. Now that's, you know, going from Miami to Virginia, I mean, that's gotta be a different transition in itself. I mean, I went from Hawaii to Minnesota. So I definitely understand that transition. I was born and raised in Hawaii, and I live in Minnesota now because I went to school here. I also work in the college athletic department. So I've been here about 5.5 years later, but I can tell you that transition, man, I can't imagine what it's like going from vibrant Miami to Virginia. What was that like?
Probably just like yourself. It was a pretty insane culture shock. You know, Miami is the capital of South America. So, you know, Americans are a minority here. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was supernatural to be around all the Hispanic cultures that Miami gives us. And then I think the biggest shock for me, I think you can relate with this on this one, is dinner at 5 o'clock, at 5 p.m. That was just like, whoa, what's going on here, man? And all of my friends who were locals at the time, like, yeah, this is how we did it. Yeah. I came across some of the nicest people I've ever met. You know, Virginia is a beautiful state, great people. And the location that we were at was a very small and super calm city. Mm. You know, and the only thing that was there was the campus and the Salem Red Sox, which is their AAA team. And I've never been around such a group of nice people all around, from the coaching staff to anybody in the administrative department from school and even the students. You know, it was just like, wow, this is pretty insane. You know, in Miami being such a monster city, so much stuff going on, like New York and different cultures just smashing together, and then you just get a little city in Virginia, and you get isolated to this such a calm and friendly bubble. And I was like, you know, culture shock for sure in the beginning. But then I grew to just completely fall in love with it. I fell in love with everything, the surrounding states, the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains, and everything that was, you know, that Appalachian State area where we were able to travel for all these games. And I'm like, wow, this is so freaking awesome. You know, it's beautiful. And yeah, a bit of a shock. I don't know how much have been a lot crazier for you from Hawaii to Minnesota, especially the weather.
The weather was crazy, man. I can tell you, going from the tropical island weather to having to be in snow most of the year. I mean, we just started getting warm weather here, and warm for me now is about 50, 60 degrees, and back home people would be freaking out. But like, I mean, you said something key there that, you know, Miami is super cultured. I mean, it's a melting pot, right? I mean, the minorities is Americans out there. And for me, growing up in Hawaii and being Filipino, especially in Hawaii, it's a melting pot of cultures. So I was submerged in culture and diversity from day one, from when I was born. You know, I was exposed to all these different cultures, the way of life of many different people. I guess, would you say, you know, being exposed to that type of culture there in Miami, you know, how did that play, I guess, into your personal professional development? Do you think it has a part in that?
Yeah, if anything, it was the thing that made you more appreciative of everything else. You never saw anything with a bad eye. And I was very receptive of everyone and everyone's culture, everyone's background. So it was, because it was, to me, it was super normal to have, for example, for me and my family, we have a very strong French culture. And I grew up here in Miami, going to a French elementary school, a French middle school, and a French high school, where I was able to not only receive the Miami melting pot, but also a very strong European standpoint, like a very pretty strong country like France, especially when it comes to personality, especially when it comes to their patriotism. So going to Virginia was like, okay, I have all this in my power, in my mindset, and what I know about everything. Why not take in some more, you know? And not only take in more, but I can give to whatever people don't know about, you know? And a lot of people are unaware of what it's like to live in Miami, what it's like to be a part of a European/French culture, that it's like, I think even something as simple as having a conversation with a roommate about dinner. Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, my mom's making this classic Colombian dish that I only have when I'm at home. Really? I've absolutely never heard of it. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is the best thing you'll ever taste. And that would translate to the way I would personify myself to my teammates. It was a charisma and a culture absorbance that I was able to give to them. And that was portrayed in the classroom. That was portrayed in my professional development when I'm coaching, when I'm serving tables too. You know, it's something that you're able to not only give to them, but it's like, okay, I'm seeing where you're from, what you're doing, and what you love. I can receive that too, and I can give you something back, and I'll even appreciate it myself. Mm-hmm. I was never really, you know, for lack of a better term, ignorant. As a matter of fact, that was the opposite. I was like, oh, yeah, tell me more. I mean, I want to keep growing that knowledge of how people, you know, behave and work in all over parts of the world. And I can really thank Miami and the French culture that was behind me my whole life to be able to excel in a different culture / change of community like Virginia was. Yeah.
And that's huge. I think that's why, you know, especially with the transitions of going from Miami to Virginia or myself going to Minnesota, I think it's that ability to stay open. I think the ability not to instantly close doors or instantly say no, or more so like, oh, what can I learn about you? You know, oh, I've never had that before. Let me try it. Or, oh, you know, you're constantly want to do different things. Now, what's next for you? I mean, what are you looking for, you know, in your next opportunity? What are you looking for in the next, I guess, school or organization that you want to work for? What's important to you, I guess?
Well, some of the location-based, as far as like Virginia, that North Carolina area, really, really stuck to me. And I would love to work for either a professional team or a college team when it comes to the operations. And if it's even the administrative side, that's just fine. I want just something that can get me to take the next step forward to my professional career. And I've been looking to, I mean, I love Charlotte, North Carolina. And, you know, they've got a huge MLS team coming in 2021. They've got the Charlotte Hornets. They got the Carolina Panthers. And I'm like, okay, if there's something I want to do, that's where I'm shooting at, you know, to kind of get things going. And unfortunately, with COVID-19, things are a little off the rails. Mm-hmm. But I'm super happy with myself to be able to put my hat on and say, this is what I want to do. This is the direction that I want to head to. And to even orient myself to different teams, whether it be professional, whether it be collegiate, in different cities, it kind of helps me give me my first step forward and say, okay, I've got what I want to do. I've got where I want to be. I've got the extension of the city, et cetera. Let's start making that step forward, you know? And it's kind of, I'm lucky to say that I have that drive and I have that initiative, even though I could comfortably say, you know, I'm an associate, I'm a head coach of, you know, my family business, you know, why not just stick around and deal with that and even grow it? Mm-hmm. But, you know, as someone who wants to get out of that comfort bubble, this would be the perfect opportunity to do it. And I was able to escape my Miami life, if you will, for 4 years in Virginia, and came back to it. I said, you know, I want to go back to that world again. And that's where I want to start making that first step forward, of course.
Yeah, I mean, again, I mean, the fact that you're saying that you want to get out of your comfort zone, I think that's just a huge strength. And I think that's going to open you up, because one of the things that many people say is flexibility is key, being open, you know, and those are things that you talked about. Fetty, where can people find you if they want to connect with you? Where can they find you on social media platforms or anything like that?
Well, I have LinkedIn, my LinkedIn page. Mm-hmm. I need to double check what it's under. It's under Federico Moro. Mm-hmm. So FederiCo. And then my last name is Moore, Mor. Pretty short and sweet. Instagram, Facebook, but as far as the one that's really getting me into these pockets of like where I want to be, what I want to do, reaching out to people, LinkedIn for sure. It's something that I go on probably more than any other platform to these days now, because I'm super keen to keep looking for stuff. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate you sharing your story, and I hope people understand who you are beyond just your resume. And people who are listening, you know, whether you're from an organization or you're looking for your first or next opportunity, please visit us at www.sportsisajob.com. And like we always say, we want people to get found in the search and not lost.